That was Ntilo Ntilo by the Soweto String Quartet, and you are tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio. And I'm your host. My name, as always, is Paige Nick. I'm always here talking about books. It's one of my very favorite subjects. And this show is sponsored by Exclusive Books, our friends with all the branches around the country where you can get whatever you want to read. All of these titles will appear on their shelves. And so now we're into our very last segment of the show, and as we wrap it up, Twangi Kalula is here chatting to Adriana Marais, or rather, I think she's Dr. Adriana Marais, if I'm not wrong. And Twangi is chatting to her about her book, which is called Out of This World and Into the Next. I was lucky enough to meet Adriana Marais, the author of this book, at the recent Open Book Festival. And I've got to tell you, listening to her speak made my jaw drop. And she said the reason she wrote this book was that she'd given these talks so many times and people were still so fascinated by them that she decided to put them down in writing, put all these observations and all these discoveries into writing, and that's where the book came from. And it's been published in a number of countries worldwide. Adriana Marais writes about the possibility of living outside of our planet, a subject that is growing in interest in life, but also in interest. Just look at the Booker Prize, won recently by Samantha Harvey, who wrote a book called Orbital, which I've read, which is astonishing. It's set on a spaceship that's orbiting Earth. But that was fiction. This that Twangi's chatting to Adriana Marais about, and it's all true, and it's all everything we could ever imagine about space and everything we know about space. So welcome to the show, Twangi and Adriana.
Humans have been fascinated by space for centuries, and we can see that in our literature. The fact that Orbital won the Booker Prize shows that we are still drawn to ideas of what's possible beyond our ozone layer. If you're a dollar billionaire or a pop star like Katy Perry, you may even be able to leave the Earth for a few minutes as you ponder the possibilities. Someone who has dedicated her entire career to understanding what could be possible in space is Dr. Adriana Marais. Her new book delves into how life emerged on Earth and how human civilization could soon begin expanding beyond our home planet. Now, like most children, space was a huge part of my childhood. I was fascinated by things like planets, stars, aliens, and dinosaurs. And I think it speaks to that idea that it stimulates our imagination, right? And what the possibilities that beyond. But most of us lose that enthusiasm as we get older. It wanes. But you were stuck there. You grew to love space and you're obsessed with it. Can you tell me how you were introduced to it and why it's kept your interest?
Thanks, Twangi. A pleasure to be here with you. I guess what you're saying is I didn't grow up. So,
which is not a
second,
bad thing.
I second that observation. Yeah, I think studies have shown that space and dinosaurs, as you've pointed out, are the topics that children are curious about. And yeah, some of us adults turn those into careers. Yeah, in my book, the dinosaurs even do feature at some point. I speak about the resilience of humans through the eras and how as modern humans, we haven't even seen the kind of climate shifts that our ancestors did and not only saw but survived, namely super volcano eruptions, asteroid impacts, resulting ice ages and massive climatic shifts, the likes of which we haven't seen in modern history, are exactly what our ancestors lived through and in the end thrived off. So I suppose one of my arguments is that we've got to keep exploring, to keep on our toes, as it were, to deal with changes in the environment. And what better way to do that than to go purposefully into extreme environments and learn how to survive those, bring back the tools, bring back the knowledge so that we can be prepared for the inevitable environmental changes that come our way, whether these are self-induced in this current era, or perhaps from afar. You know, we've heard about this asteroid that popped up last weekend, was it? Let's see how that goes. But this is always a possibility that something from space finds us rather than the other way around.
And I think it's quite a fascinating book in the sense that you set out to achieve two things. I think the one thing is obviously there's an educational element of just, you know, it was kind of a big kind of space 101 kind of part to it. But then a huge part of it is about provoking our thoughts around what's possible. How did the book actually come about and what were you actually aiming to achieve?
Yeah, thanks so much. I think the book was, written in my mind. I thought if the apocalypse happens and the internet fails, the book could serve as some kind of reference for like a brief account of the history of space exploration. So people can remember what we did. You know, it's always possible that things go badly wrong. I mean, a lot of it, I wrote this during COVID and the lockdown. So this like apocalyptic air was around after 2019. I did a lot of writing during the lockdown. Mm. Yeah, as a child, I've always loved exploring. So I think I always look where the boundary is and then try and push it, as my parents and teachers would probably agree. So space is just the natural extension of the exploration that we can do here on Earth, the next realm. Yeah, it's become a career, and I think this is an interesting point in the history of life on Earth. So life, according to evidence we've found, emerged on Earth around 4 billion years ago. Yeah. So it's taken 4 billion years for those microscopic life forms to evolve into plants, animals, humans. And now finally humans, this unusual species that we are part of, have developed the capability to leave the planet, which we did in the 60s and 70s. Of course, we do have astronauts living in Earth orbit for over 20 years now continuously. But, you know, if going to space for a few minutes or orbiting the Earth is useful. But the real adventure, in my opinion, starts when you go somewhere, right? Yeah. So the moon as a destination and Mars as a destination is what really fascinates me.
And I wanted to ask you about that. I think our producer, Zoo, knows very well that I'm often guilty of saying, I need to leave this planet. Especially when we're discussing the headlines in the newspapers.
Careful you say that around.
So I was fascinated to read that you truly believe that it is a possibility. Possibility and that we could live elsewhere. How soon or how far away do you think that is? And how realistic do you think that is?
So there are 8 billion plus of us humans living on the surface of this planet currently, and so many of us live in extremely harsh conditions. Mm. When we look at the conflict that's broken out, the drought-induced refugee situations, there are so many humans who live in circumstances that many of us would find, in theory, unbearable. Mm. However, human resilience kicks in, and we are able to withstand extreme conditions. So I see great parallels between improving living conditions on Earth with, you know, trying to create societies in extreme places beyond Earth. Mm. The kinds of technological solutions to produce power, clean water, food, communication systems remain necessary for humans in whatever planet or whatever scenario we find ourselves in. So when we look at practical examples, you know, we have people living in Antarctica over the winter. South Africa has a base there. We've got astronauts in the International Space Station and in the Chinese Space Station living in the vacuum of space. So actually, when you are on Mars, things will get easier, if you can imagine it, because there is H2O ice crystals in the sand. There's carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and these are resources. These are elements that you can use to produce necessary resources for life, water, oxygen, hydrogen for fuel, etc. So we already have the technology to live on the surface of Mars. Getting there, we need to sophisticate. We've, of course, taken technology to Mars. That's how we get this beautiful, like, high-resolution footage of the surface of Mars, which makes us feel like we are already there. So getting there is a challenge that Elon Musk and SpaceX and China and various other parties with large budgets are developing. So we are waiting, hopefully, for the successful demonstration of the size of rocket necessary to transport the size of cargo that humans will require. This is one missing element. But once we arrive there, we can take the learnings from decades of living in the space stations that we've had in orbit. Of course, living on the moon, which is in the plans for the next few years, will also give us important information on how to eventually live on our next-door neighbor planet, Mars. But essentially, we have the technology. We need imagination, some trial and error, integration is important, and then demonstration. And this could happen in the next few years.
And one of the things that really piqued my interest as I read the book was that you explore the notion of living beyond Earth, and the fact that it gives us an opportunity to kind of introspect about how we live currently. And use the word stewardship, you know, like as stewards of our planets. And you know, I couldn't help myself thinking, okay, we've destroyed one planet, we're off to go and do it to another. But you actually say that you think it's a great opportunity to kind of reflect on how we live. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Sure. So the first major difference, if you are an alien looking at Earth and Mars, is that Earth is abundant with life. Earth is teeming with life. You know, a drop of seawater contains like so many different living systems. The air we're breathing right now full of fungal spores and other things. So Earth's teeming with life. Mars, we can't detect life. We have tried. Maybe there's life there, but our instruments have not been able to detect it. So the first difference is that maybe we deserve to live on Mars, a barren, desolate place where we have to build everything from scratch. You know, that's kind of a joke,
okay. Think about what we've done
to Earth. Exactly. So a deeper appreciation for life, because I think the heart of what we could be working towards here on Earth is a deeper sense of appreciation for life. Let's remember that Earth is the only planet we know of with life on it currently. That Earth is the only planet we know of with liquid water on the surface. And yet we pollute these oceans and kill these life forms that make our own existence possible. When we have the opportunity to try to build a biosphere elsewhere, we will realize just how complex and beautiful our planet Earth is, I believe. And that doesn't mean all of us need to go to Mars.
Absolutely.
Some of us are happy to stay here. Others of us are rearing to go. So that will be a natural division where some of us may choose to go and explore Mars. Most of us will stay here. But I think seeing how difficult it is to set up a biosphere, you need bacteria, you need fungal spores, you need seeds, you need the insects to pollinate these plants that we're growing, you need the humans, not only the humans, you need the engineers, the medics, the mediators, the artists, the psychologists, the beer brewers. You need all of these people to make a society that works. And perhaps by reflecting on what kind of culture we would like to inculcate or have emerge in this community, then we can start to think about what direction we want to go on Earth. And I think this has been missing from the dialogue that we're having here. We can all point out what the problems are, but what we really need to do is start working towards what is our vision for the future? What culture do we want to aspire towards? Because if each one of us thinks about that consciously every day, what culture are we aspiring towards? Then I think we start to make real progress.
I just wanted to commend you as well, and first of all, writing such an accessible book about space. It really is very complex and complicated, but you managed to get me excited about chemistry and social issues, and it managed to be thought-provoking. And I think the real success of this book is that it does spark a little bit of imagination in the readers. Out of This World and Into the Next by Dr. Adriana Murray was published by Profile Books and retails for 360 Rand.
Thank you so much. To Infinity and Beyond is a great way for me, I think, to wrap up the show today. The fact that books take us not only to other countries, but to other worlds and other planets even, is testament to how important they are. If you find yourself scrolling a lot, watching a lot of videos, and you keep telling yourself you'd like to read some more, hopefully something in the show has spoken to you and you'll pick up a book and fall in love with reading all over again, or be reminded of an author that you really enjoy or a subject matter that you really enjoy. I find when I listen to people talking about books, the one thing it really does is make me want to read. So there's no shortage. Pop to your local exclusive books and hopefully something will talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank all our reviewers and interviewers. They work tirelessly behind the scenes, picking what they want to read and what they want to talk about. And I was chatting to a reviewer, one of our lovely reviewers, Shirley Gula, the other day, and she was saying, I read for pleasure. We all do this. We get so much pleasure out of this job, and we are so lucky to do it. And so I want to thank you all listeners. You give us such a pleasure to be able to talk about our greatest pleasure, and we hope we give you some pleasure and some ideas of what to read. And thank you, Mzu, and thank you all the publishers, and thank you all the authors, and thank you, Fine Music Radio, for having us. We'll see you again in 2 weeks' time, and until then, happy reading.